Right, well, I'm sorry about the noise, Georgia, but we have a very important piece of scientific apparatus here in the studio, because this is a chocolate fountain.
Right.
And with the chocolate fountain is, of course, Adam. Now, tell us a bit about you, because Adam Townsend from University College London, you are a mathematician, so why are you knocking around with a chocolate fountain?
We're trying to answer some science questions about chocolate fountains. So, good one. The next time you look at a chocolate fountain, as we can see here, you can ask, well, why, when the chocolate falls off the chocolate fountain, does it fall not quite downwards, but slightly inwards?
I suppose we should explain for people. So what we've got here is a series of tiers. There's a top bulb, and then there's another one underneath, and then a big dish at the bottom. The chocolate flows out of the top. It runs over each of these things that look like upside-down dishes, don't they?
Yeah.
And then it drops onto the one underneath it. But when it does so, it doesn't fall straight down, like water dripping off the edge. It actually goes inwards a bit and then down.
Yeah, which is weird, because gravity normally acts downwards. So in this case, it's going inwards. So me and my supervisor, we looked at this and we thought, okay, well, what's going on here?
It's important to know that there's key science going on in laboratories around the country looking at important physics principles like chocolate fountains. But no, I mean, more seriously, there's obviously something doing something to this fluid, and more broadly, understanding how fluids move and behave is important, isn't it? Because there are many applications beyond just chocolate fountains. You're using this as a simple model, but there are lots of reasons why this is relevant to everyday life in other respects.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, knowing how fluids behave, how any liquid moves, is clearly very important, as fluids are absolutely everywhere. Chocolate is a particularly interesting type of fluid. It's what we call non-Newtonian. What this means is that the viscosity of the fluid, that's its thickness, changes as it goes round. So lots of liquids like water and even honey, I mean, they have obviously different viscosities. Honey's an awful lot thicker, but their viscosities don't change. When you take a glass of water or something and you stir it, the viscosity, the thickness of the water stays the same. However, chocolate doesn't behave like this. So chocolate behaves a bit like mayonnaise, right, or ketchup.
You know, it tastes better though.
It does taste better. I mean, you can try mayonnaise fountains, but anyway. So you,
I don't think I will actually. I'll leave that to you, Adam.
So if you take ketchup, for example, and you might know that, you know, if you have a glass bottle of ketchup, it's quite difficult to get ketchup out of the bottle.
If you do not shake the bottle, none comes out, and then a lot'll.
Yeah, exactly. So ketchup has this weird property that it's quite thick, and you can't get it out of the bottle, but you need to shake it. You need to give it some sort of shear before it starts coming out. And chocolate behaves in much the same way. Other things that behave this way, say mayonnaise, lava, nail polish, blood behaves this way.
You don't eat most of those things, do you?
No, not so much.
I'm just kidding. But how did you apply physics and maths to this question? How can you actually take something like a chocolate fountain and start making mathematical equations to describe that?
Sure, so we have one big equation that tells you how every fluid moves. It's called the Navier-Stokes equation. It's really important and it looks horrible. And what you do is you ask, what's really important in this equation is the viscosity. How does the viscosity change as it goes, in this case, through the chocolate fountain? So what you look for is trying to figure out how does the viscosity, how can you describe the viscosity? So you stick that into the equation and try and get some answers out of it, basically.
And is that what you did? You now have equations that will describe how this fluid in this situation moves.
Yes. Yeah, so obviously, chocolate is a million, possibly billion-pound industry, and so people have done experiments with chocolate, and they can tell you exactly how the viscosity changes as it goes round. And so we try to look these up, convince people to give us some data. We stuck it in, and we got some predictions, and they seem to be pretty good from our kitchen experiments.
We know what they say, Adam. Proof is in the eating. Proof's in the pudding. Should we have a go?
Yeah, help yourself. So we've got some bananas, we've got some strawberries, got some marshmallows.
There's a large queue forming behind you as well.
You're not lying.
Okay, show us what we do. Go on, let's go for it.
Yeah, so from my extensive chocolate fountain research, I can tell you that strawberries are definitely the best to put in here. So you take it and you put in it. So if you want to be really mean to everyone else, you dip it in the top, because that's where you get absolute best coverage. But then you end up sort of...
Especially if it falls off like that has. Yeah, it's gone down inside the machine.
Yeah, so you... But you get full coverage this way, you see, which makes it very good. And then you stick it in your mouth.
I think we should let the ladies in, because Connie looks like she's about to murder someone if you don't let her go near her. Off you go. What are you going to go for? We've got banana, we have strawberry, or we've got marshmallows.
I'm going to do what the expert said. I'm going to go for a strawberry.
Yeah.
Is there a mathematical equation to describe how the chocolate coats the fruit or the marshmallow item?
Yeah, so coating is a really important problem, because if you're, for example, an airplane manufacturer and you want to coat, you want to paint your aeroplane. Well, this is a coating problem because you end up with a nice thin sheet of paint, and paint behaves the same way as chocolate, which is amazing.
Adam Townsend from University College London, Thank you very much. And also top marks for your fantastic seasonal jumper, which rivals Peter's bow tie. I think the combination of the two would be an absolutely killer combo. Thank you very much.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 long equations, 11 spaceships launching, 10 Stephen Hawking's, 9 Stegosaurus, 8 quarks are quarking, 7 lasers beaming, 6 supernovas, DNA, 4 microscopes, 3 test tubes, 2 chromosomes, and a partridge in a Petri dish.
The 12 Days of Science Christmas, sung for us by the Templar Scholars. This is The Naked Scientists. I'm Chris Smith. Also with me, Georgia Mills. We're having a party here in the studio. Coming up, how you can avoid a Christmas hangover, and we'll be subjecting Adam to the breathalyzer. PC Andy Cooper's come in to show us what actually happens when you've had a little bit too much to drink. Did okay on the interview, though, didn't he, Georgia?
Yes, he did. And I think before we get to that, I need a walk after all that chocolate. And what Christmas day wouldn't be complete without a walk through the mistletoe? Ginny Smith.